Hey, NAIA football fans, Corey Thorpe here with another edition of the NAIAF Ball Podcast, powered by AdCraft USA, your custom apparel, merch, and uniform experts. Our friends at AdCraft have been with us for many years now. They've run web stores for us multiple times. These guys are NAIA fans and family who are experts in the apparel and merchandise world. AdCraft allows you to take the hassle out of ordering. Let their knowledgeable design and customer service staff handle everything from hosting the store online, shipping the product, and helping your customers so you can get back to the game. Find them online at AdCraftUSA.com. All right, NAIA football fans, this is Corey Thorpe back with another edition of the NAIF Ball Podcast, powered by AdCraft, custom apparel and merch, the goats in the merch industry since 1974. And as we make our way the tour day of the NAIA playoffs, we stop off this week in Ottawa, Kansas, home to the OG Ottawa team in the NAIA, the Ottawa Braves, and head coach Nick Davis. Coach, how you doing?
Great. Thanks for having me.
It's this weird week, this liminal space between Christmas and New Year's when we're, recording this. Are we actually sure what day it is?
No, I was at the in-laws for like 5 days, and we had 2 days here, and then I will be going to my family's tomorrow, whatever day that is.
I hear that. It's just sort of, we'll take it one day at a time.
For sure.
So, Coach, this last year was a great year for Ottawa. You make the playoffs. You do finish at 6-6, but you know what? You have a divisional crown. And by Jove, you made the playoffs. And really, that's all that counts. I mean, last year, you're coming off a 2-8 start or a 2-8 season. You go, you improve, you make the playoffs. What was the big jump due to between last year and this?
Yeah, no, it was pretty exciting. Not a lot of 1-4 teams to start the season end up going to the playoffs. And I joke with our staff all the time that we are the worst record team to ever make any college football playoff, which is pretty cool. Obviously we wanted to have a better season, but we started off 1-4 and kind of got hot, ended up winning our division. So I think like Southwestern, we lose the first game of the year. We got a field goal blocked, extra points blocked. We lose by 2 points. They're a number 11 team in the country. So I think our kids kind of believed that we could be successful. Then we go to Friends and, Terry Harrison and the triple option. We couldn't stop a soul that day. Did well offensively. We respond by going to Bethel, who was ranked in the top 25 at the time, and were able to pull out a victory against those guys. So to turn it around and get blown out by Mac when our starting quarterback got hurt. So, like, it was a up and down first 6 games of the season, but our kids just always believed.
Yeah, what was the feel in the locker room that week between Evangel, where you have that 6-point loss, and that home game against Bethany? What did you still have that belief, or did y'all have to kind of sort of rally the troops at that point?
Yeah, I mean, I think after beating Bethel, which was the first ranked victory against a ranked opponent since 2014. Someone had told me 2018, but I went back the other day and they hadn't beat a ranked opponent since 2014. So, like, once we had won that game, we kind of knew. And then the next week, like, we were in it against McPherson, and then our quarterback gets hurt and we fumble and throw a pick six. And it probably looks worse than what the score actually indicates. And then we go and we got a chance inside the 10 to beat Evangel on the last possession. And so I think our kids always understood that we were good enough. But they also knew there was kind of light at the end of the tunnel. You know, we played in our first 6 games, 4 teams that were ranked or would be ranked at some point in the season, that our schedule was going to get, you know, a little easier, and we were going to have a chance to play for a championship in our division.
Speaking of that division, it's the first year of the KCAC splitting into 2 divisions. And, you know, the intent on that was always, of course, to guarantee yourself as a conference two divisions, especially with the NAI going to a 20-team playoff. The auto bid is a true auto bid. But man, then the way they split the divisions. Talk to me about the way that you look at that and you go, okay, it's K-Dub, us, Avila, but they're replacing their head coach, and then Tabor, St. Mary, and Sterling. That's not a bad draw.
So what our conference did, and I thought it was pretty cool, it probably lacked a little bit of execution because they ended up taking the year before COVID record of every team, including Evangel, what they did in the heart. They took COVID out of it because some teams didn't play. And they took 2021, which I was our defensive coordinator. So they took 2019 and 2021 to determine the overall records of all the teams and tried to split it out pretty evenly. Well, you look back and Terry Harrison was at Bethel in 2019 and 2021, and Friends hadn't won many football games. So I think the biggest swing is that Friends and McPherson have got a lot better since 2019 and 2021. And obviously Avila fell off a little bit from, you know, they went to the playoffs. You know, preseason, if you didn't know Avila lost a lot of players, you would think, well, man, the Bissell division's pretty tough with Kansas Wesleyan, who's gone to the semifinals in the last 5 years, and an Avila team that had a chance to win a first-round game last year. So that'll be for 2 years. And I'm sure it's not public, but they redid the conferences based off winning percentage for this season and last year to make sure it's always competitive every 2 years. So it won't always be that way, but that was the goal, is to make sure that we are the most competitive possible. We're just taking information from 2019 and 2021 to get to that point. And I think at that point, there may have been four head coaches that are at their same school, you know, from 2019.
I mean, the turnover in over a four-year period at any level of college football is going to be fairly high. So what I'm hearing is that next year, so 2025, we'll readjust again and go from there. I really like that system.
We'll readjust, and it'll go off the last two seasons' winning percentage. And kind of what they did was the top team is on one side. The number two is on the other. The worst team is with the number one. The 11th best team is with number two, and kind of snaked it that way. So there's a few tiebreakers, but it would be pretty easy for you guys to figure out, initially, where people would be. But I don't think the KCAC wants me to say anything until it gets released.
I mean, I really do like that system, and that is one really huge advantage of pretty much everyone being in Kansas or very Kansas adjacent, in the case of Evangel and Avila, being right there on the border. That's, man, I tell you, if you do something like that in, say, FBS, and you adjust like the ACC like that, that wouldn't be a bad thing. Obviously, you know, Florida State leaving, that screws things up.
I think travel does. We're playing everyone, so travel doesn't matter. So it ends up being nice that you're always going to have a competitive balance. Because, I'm not picking on the heart or anything, but maybe the second, third, and fourth best team in the heart are in the heart south. Like, I think everyone would say Grandview is the top dog, but, you know, at least for this season, the second, third, and fourth team may be in the same division.
Yeah, I would agree with that, especially with Culver Stockton always trying to get there but never quite being able to get over the hump. I would agree with that assessment. Talk to me about recruiting. That's something I've always been interested in asking. How does a one-year improvement like this and making the playoffs and selling the playoff berth, how does that impact recruiting on a one-year span? Are kids like going, okay, I can see the growth and I want to buy in, or do you need to sell a longer term even after a season like this?
Yeah, you know, we've had some official visits here in December, and we'll have some in January. I think it's huge because you can talk about, hey, these are things we want to do. But when you can show a picture of a championship ring, you know, as many times as what we may do on an official visit, I think it shows to the kids, like, okay, they went 2-8 the first year, but they won a championship in year two. So what can they do in year three, knowing that Ottawa is the third winningest NAIA football program of all time? And, you know, it hasn't been too far, but from 2009 to 2014, we went to the playoffs 6 straight years and won 4 conference championships. So I think it definitely is helping the conversations, because there's, you know, some players that I think were like not interested in a rebuild. And now those same type of kids are more likely wanting to come and play for us because we did win a championship.
And I mean, and most of those kids, none of those kids were alive at the point, but even in the early 2000s, 2000, 2001, Ottawa was winning KCAC championships with some coordinator named Steve Ryan on the yeah. squad.
Yeah, I think that they won one in 97, they won one in 2001, and one in 2003. Chris Creighton, you know, head coach at Eastern Michigan. So there was quite a bit of success, you know, really in the last 25 years here at Ottawa.
So let's take a look at the team here, and let's talk about what you've got coming back and what work you've got to do during your spring ball when it does finally roll around. I mean, it is, good Lord, the last couple days of 2023, and here I am talking spring ball. Offensively, you lose quite a few players in terms of your skill positions. Offensive line a little up in the air maybe, but you've got a new quarterback to break in Jace Hold. You're replacing first team All-KCAC Winton Ruth, who had 1,200 yards and 12 touchdowns. And, you know, whoever you do bring in a quarterback, he does have a majority of his wide receiver yards coming back led by Jaden Johnson. But talk to me about kind of rebuilding that offense.
Yeah, you know, our offensive line, of the 7 guys that started football games for us this last year, all 7 have a potential chance to come back. We got 2 seniors that are trying to make their final decision on whether they'll go to grad school or they're going to, you know, pick up a second degree or something and come back and play in the fall. Running back, we lose our top 3 ball carriers, but Winton Ruth wasn't even on our roster at this time last year. So we had a kid, Jared Daniels, who's just as talented as him. We've done pretty well on transfers that have 1 year left, whether it's grad school or like Winton Ruth was an amazing student as well, and probably could have been an academic All-American because of his grades. So, but we got a bunch of young guys that are pretty talented on our roster as well. And then shoot, man, we played 3 freshman wide receivers, a sophomore wide receiver. They had a majority of our yards, so we're pretty excited there. And it'll really be the quarterback position. And Jace Hold is a talented young man. We have a freshman, Caleb Morris, who's pretty talented too. So Jace came into our preseason camp with a little bit of an injury, so we were able to redshirt him this year. But he's just as talented as Billy, and probably has a little bit he's definitely has a little bit more speed than what Billy Maples had for us.
And that's pretty impressive. I mean, Maples was no slouch running the football, 5 touchdowns a year ago, 3.8 yards per carry, and that's including the sacks. I mean, that's always – look, unless you're going to sit there and really do the math, I'm going to include sack yardage because I'm lazy. But that's – I mean, that's what you want to do. I mean, that's always your main bread and butter there is trying to figure out how to run the football.
Yeah, Billy was slow enough. I don't think that anyone cared about him running, but fast enough to hurt you. Probably ran a 5-second 40, but pretty crafty. Our offensive line only gave up 10 sacks on the season, and we didn't give up a lot of tackles for loss. So Billy was pretty good, and a lot of our touchdowns came on Billy kind of getting outside of the pocket and getting the ball to some playmakers. We had a 3rd-and-31 against St. Mary where Billy got out of the pocket, chucked it to one of our freshman wide receivers, and he ran 50 yards for a touchdown. We look like geniuses as coaches.
I was about to say, I thought I remembered Billy getting some rushing yards in that Dort game and it being him getting out a little bit. Yeah, he had 69 yards on 12 carries. I mean, and only 5 yards lost. That's probably only like one sack. So, I mean, I've seen slow quarterbacks and I've seen slow quarterbacks, but I mean, you know, he didn't look too out of place there. Defensively.
No, he's a traditional, probably high school power forward. So, you know, can hurt you, but you don't want him on your track team. That's for sure.
That's fair.
And he actually is on our track team. He just throws the javelin. I think he finished 5th in our conference in the javelin last year.
Yeah, you do need big bodies to do the throws, whether it's the hammer, the javelin, and those sort of power things. You don't see very many skinny people throwing javelins.
No. Forgot. Important. They'll get madder. Both of our tight ends are coming back. So
nice.
Isaac Gibson and Eric McQueen, which I think was a huge part of our success. We rotated those guys, but they played pretty much every play of the season.
Yeah, I mean, whether it's finding play action opportunities down the field or using them as additional gaps for your running game, tight ends are such an important part of a modern offense. Defensively, really the only kind of holes you've got to fill there is going to be in your defensive backfield. Elijah Hahn-Blewett is coming back, but you've got an all-conference selection coming back at both your front seven positions there. Defensive lineman James Gladden had 90 tackles a year ago, 14 for a loss. Good grief. And A.J. Hemphill just vacuumed up tackles like a Degum Hoover with 136. And 3 PBUs from the linebacker spot is nothing to sneeze at. Talk to me about your defense.
Yeah, AJ was first team All-American, which was pretty cool. We thought he was talented enough to do that last year, but I think a lot of people were like, okay, they're 2-8, and this is a sophomore linebacker. Maybe he's not this good, because I think he was second in the country in tackles too. So this year he finally got the nod, first team out linebacker, and got named All-American, which was pretty cool for us. And James Gladden's a freak. He four-year starter for us, coming back with his COVID year. So pretty excited about him. And we got a lot of other talented guys, you know, on our defensive line that we're pretty excited about. Really don't lose much to graduation. We lose Samad Ali, who was a really good football player for us, and kind of that front seven. But most of those guys are coming back, and a lot of those guys have played or started for us for 3 or 4 years. So we're really excited about those guys on defense. Lose Kevin Wade, one of our star defensive backs. We lose Kyle Reynolds, who was a 2.5-year starter for us as one of our safeties. But we should get 3 or 4 returning starters that played for us at different points in the season coming back for us in our secondary.
So one of the neat things about Ottawa, as I've been privileged to work alongside your athletic department, mostly on the flag side, but, you know, through working with them, it is hard to find a more professional sports information department anywhere in the NAIA landscape. And where you find a good sports information department that stays around and sticks together, you're going to find an athletic department that really does a great job of supporting its sports, supporting its coaches. Talk to me about the support of that Ottawa athletic department and what that means to you as a coach, knowing that you've got that backing.
Yeah, I mean, it starts with Araby Connor, who was our former athletic director, believed in me, and she had been around for 20-some years. I was a graduate assistant at Ottawa in 2010 and 11, and then came back in the 21 season to be our defensive coordinator. And when Coach Kessinger, who was our head coach for 18 years, retired, she thought I was good enough to take over the program and run with it. And then, once she left, Bruce Tate stepped in as our interim athletic director for this season, and he's awesome. He actually played football and basketball at Ottawa as well. Like, there's a lot of people you start going through the coaching directories that either played or went or knows someone who went to Ottawa. Katie Tooley, our sports information director, former athlete at Ottawa University, and she's been around for a long time, and she's awesome. Mike Doug, who does a bunch of our interviews, he's an alum So it's pretty cool. There's about 7 or 8 coaches on campus that have been around for 20 plus years. There's a professor who's on his 50th year teaching at Ottawa University. So it's a pretty special place. And Coach Kessinger was big on family atmosphere. And it's not just a football thing. It's really across our whole entire campus. And when I took over, I asked our kids what we did best, and it was family atmosphere. And my offensive coordinator played here. My defensive coordinator was a graduate assistant here. Three of my young coaches either played here, or they have a brother on our team right now. And our one GA's brother may be coming here next year. So when people say family, it really is a big family atmosphere. Our dean of students, I coached here. So a lot of big football support and athletic support here on campus for sure.
Katie Tooley is thebomb.com. Had the absolute pleasure of working with her the last couple of flag national championships, and man, anything I've ever needed, I've had it to make sure that me up in the booth could sound professional and I wasn't sitting here mispronouncing names, because nothing will make a mama come at you faster than mispronouncing their baby's name. Talk to me though about you've got this long football history, now you've got this flag football history and this dominance. Is that any weird any at all to go, okay, you've won 3 in a row over there. I gotta get going over here.
No, for sure. And they're awesome. The flag girls, like, they're humble. Like, they're excited about our success. They rush the field when we beat Kansas Wesleyan in overtime. Like, our guys get excited about them winning. So I think at the end of it, like, a lot of these girls haven't played football their whole entire life. So they're learning so much about the game, whether it's, you know, during their season, or we have, I think, 4 of the girls that are on the flag team work as assistant athletic trainers for our practices. So we have a pretty good relationship with those young ladies. They're awesome. The Sauer sisters are awesome. Like, if they weren't so busy, I'd want them to help coach us. And Coach Anderson, our offensive coordinator, helped them in their last national championship run down in Atlanta. So it's pretty special. But yeah, they keep winning national championship rings. We got to, you know, keep making it to the playoffs and give ourselves a chance, because Coach Anderson's got a national championship ring. It's just flag football.
Yeah, I've always wondered if Thomas were ever to make it, if they get the play-by-play guy a national championship ring. But we've got to get past Ottawa first, honestly.
Hey, I'd get you one. If I bought all of our athletic trainers and our strength coaches a championship ring. So
love that. Finding ways to get people involved. Absolutely love it. So we know that in football, as in life, you're not constantly trying to find ways to make progress. I mean, it's that time of year. You're making New Year's resolutions. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter whether it's on field, off field, football life, Christian walk, whatever. You got to be always striving, pushing forward. What's the one big thing that y'all are wanting to focus on and improve on next year as Ottawa Braves football team?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is we played really well when we thought we were the underdog all season. If you go back, like, every game that we thought we were going to be the underdog, it was a one-possession game outside of probably the door playoff game where, you know, you watched it. It was a lot closer than what maybe the 35-7 score indicates. They were really good on third down situationally and got off the field, but I think we put up more yards against them than everybody but Morningside, and they played a team that went to the national championship twice. So, you know, I think we got to do a better job when our kids don't perceive us as an underdog. When they think, oh, we're going to win, we weren't that great, you know. Since we beat Kansas Wesleyan and won our conference championship, we're 0-2. So we got to start to win when everyone's coming for us and a target's on our back. So I think that's going to be the big challenge, is everyone is going to hunt for Ottawa. There's a lot of people that don't believe that we should have been in the NAIA playoffs. You know, we did what we needed to do. But a lot of people are coming for us. 11 teams in our conference want us to lose.
That's exactly right, because, I mean, y'all play round robin, and they've got to get their wins somewhere, and they're wondering if they can find a hole in the Ottawa armor this next year, but we will see. It's been an upward trajectory so far. Thank you for coming on the NAIF Ball Podcast. Appreciate you taking some time out in this space between Christmas and New Year's to talk football, and we very much are looking forward to Ottawa and the KCAC as a whole next season, see what entertaining football comes out of the middle of the country.
Yeah, we appreciate everything you guys do. You guys do a phenomenal job every week covering the sports. So we're just appreciative to be a little bit part of the NAI football experience. And I think top to bottom, we have one of the toughest leagues in, you know, the nation, because I think there's been, in the last 35 years, every team's won a conference championship, which is pretty cool.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the NAIF Ball Podcast, powered by AdCraft USA. Be sure to contact them for all your custom apparel, merch, and uniform needs. Thanks also to our newest sponsor, Telemetry Sports. If you enjoyed the show, subscribe to the podcast and to our YouTube channel, and leave us a review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. As always, if you'd like to support what we do, head over to patreon.com/NAIAFball and become a patron. We can't do what we do without our sponsors and listeners like you.